Terry Crowley is with us, and anytime I hear that music, I know I'm going to have a nice baseball discussion. How are you?
You know, Marty, it feels like summer when that song comes on, and I enjoy
it's
it.
It's true.
Love having these weekend baseball talks. It brings a sense of normalcy at a time when I know I need it, and I hope that others do too.
Well, what a week for Giants baseball, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I opened the show, and I've talked a little bit to Eric Nadell, of course, of the Ranger broadcast crew, and now you. I think it was a good week of Giants baseball, maybe well beyond my expectation.
Yeah, I do too. They really showed a lot of resilience against the Padres. And after those first two games in Los Angeles, you kind of got the sense that, okay, this could spiral out of control really quickly. But those bounce-back victories at the end of the L.A. series and then playing the Padres so competitively, coming back in the late innings in both those games and then really thrashing the Rangers on Friday night, they exceeded my expectations. You know, this could have gotten away from them quickly, and I think the Giants showed that they're fighting, they're resilient, and it's a team that's not going to let an early deficit phase them, and that's important.
No, and let me tell you something. If a lefty is pitching, they got a right-handed lineup that every one of them can do damage.
Well, and it really helps that Mike Yastrzemski's playing every day and playing at such a high level, Marty, because he's the left-handed bat who does face lefties and who does perform well against them. He had reverse splits last year, and you look at the way he's opened this season, there's been no hotter hitter in the National League than Yastrzemski. So you put him in the middle of that order and get Donovan Solano, Darren Ruff, Austin Slater in there, all guys with proven track records against left-handers. I think it's above average Major League lineup against left-handers. I think they have a lot of work to do against righties, and we'll see that tonight, but I think it's above average against left-handers.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, you didn't see Carl Yastrzemski play, of course, the grandfather of Mike Yastrzemski, and FX and Nancy Hayden Crowley are too young to remember Yaz. But I want to tell you something. This is the way Yaz played. This is the way Carl Yastrzemski. I tell you, you couldn't get him out, and he just had that swing, and he just had that look about him. The kid looks like Carl Yastrzemski right now. Now, hasn't even had a full year in the big leagues yet, but it's really fun to watch this kid play.
Well, and there's been a significant improvement in his at-bat quality this year, Marty, that I think leads me to believe that this is sustainable success for Mike Yastrzemski. I think that you look at the way he's taking pitches, you look at the way he is drawing walks, that's a little different from last year. He was sometimes willing to go out of the strike zone. We're not seeing that this year with Mike Yastrzemski. And the at-bat the other night against Deanilson Lamet, where it was a 1-2 count, he took a few sliders that were low and in, and then took the fastball high and away for ball four, really showed to me the quality of at-bat that Mike Yastrzemski is able to put together and why he's such an important fixture in the leadoff spot against these right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, I thought it was terrific. Now, let's look at the standings for a second. You know, look, what a crazy year. You know, you look at the standings, it's going to be 60 games, you hope. And we'll talk about that in a second, what you think. But Padres 6-2, Rockies 4-2, Dodgers 5-3. Giants 4-4 and Arizona 3-5. So I said this to open the show. You know, the Giants are only playing against the National League West, I say only, and the American League West. You know, there's no Cincinnati, there's no Cardinals in there, Braves and Nationals, Mets and any of that. Why can't they come in second in this thing, playing against these teams if that's all you're going to play?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at the slow start that Arizona's gotten out to. I think that that's a better roster than they've showed so far. And the Padres, to me, got off to a better start than I expected. I thought that Arizona was going to take that opening series. I thought their pitchers were better equipped to handle the San Diego lineup. And so it'll be really interesting to see the way this unfolds because, you know, I look at those three teams at the top of the division, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the D-backs. And I think that the Giants don't stack up from a talent perspective. But if Gabe Kapler manages this team well, if they continue to hit left-handed pitchers, of which there are a lot of in the National League West, well, I do think that they can make things interesting. They can be in the mix. You know, all you have to do is go 25-25 through your first 50, and if you get to those final 10 with a chance, then the Giants wrap up with the Padres and Rockies over the end of the season, and I do think that they stack up well against those teams, at least better than they do with the Dodgers and the D-backs.
So what's going to happen here in this season? Rob Manfred was quoted today. He's not a quitter, and he's challenged the players to do better and all this kind of stuff. Where are we going with this?
Well, it's certainly not trending in a good direction, Marty. I'm very disappointed and discouraged by all the news that has come out. And I try to stay optimistic. I try to be hopeful. But when you hear reports that there's 17 Miami Marlins who tested positive, that the St. Louis Cardinals maybe weren't staying in their hotel on the road and were exploring when they shouldn't have been, it's so discouraging because everyone wants this season to happen. Everyone wants them to do this in the safest possible way. And, I've spoken with people who think it's still possible, but I've also spoken with people who are just discouraged right now. And I think that it's up to the players, it's up to the coaches, it's up to the medical staffs. But at the same time, the virus knows no bounds, it knows no limits, and a lot can happen. We're taking risks every time we go outside. These players are taking risks every time they step on the field. And I try to stay hopeful, but right now it's tough to see the news pile on every day. I'll say that.
Well, it's a tough situation because if one person gets it, well, then you got to start quarantining a whole bunch of other people. And if two or three people get it, then, all of a sudden now you've got nine people. And then that goes to the heart of the team. And there's a lot of games that have been canceled already. There's over 30 games, I think, that have been canceled already. I think I saw that number. And now they're talking about playing seven-inning doubleheaders. So they're trying to do everything they can. But I think personally this is an uphill battle now.
Yeah, and what I would tell you that no one has been talking about in the last week, Marty, I think local jurisdictions are going to get increasingly uncomfortable if this continues. So Rob Manfred can say we're going to play the season. The players can say we're going to, take the health and safety protocols more seriously. But I think there's going to be local jurisdictions that end up stepping in and say that they're not comfortable with this, that they can't have outdoor gatherings that are more than, 20 people, and that includes baseball. And we're going to see, some governors or some mayors get in the way of Major League Baseball here because they just can't have this situation. We saw what happened in Toronto with the Blue Jays. They don't have a home field, and it wouldn't surprise me if a few other teams get kicked out of their cities.
Well, we'll see. That would take a lot of moxie on a local politician to shut down a baseball team because the baseball team is, they're well established in the financial community, shall we say, in the government circles. And that would take a lot to shut it down by a local guy. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Gabe Kapler had an interesting week, and I was all over him on the weekend. And I said, boy, veteran players are complaining already. It's your first 3 days on the job. And then, of course, they started winning, and he made a lot of moves. The bullpen, middle relief, all the moves, 90% are working out. And then we got to the extra inning against the Padres. Tyler Rogers, and it just showed the inexperience of Gabe Kapler and the coaching staff. And also it showed me a little bit of, I don't want to say panic, but what's going on here? We got to do something. when the going got tough, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Marty, I don't think it would have been such a critical mistake and such a big story, if not for the fact that we just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of Bruce Bochy absolutely embarrassing Don Mattingly in Los Angeles with his knowledge of the same rule. And the Giants stealing that game in 2010 at Dodger Stadium by getting Broxton out of there, Andres Torres ripping the go-ahead double. No players in the clubhouse are going to hold that against against Gabe Kapler because they weren't there for that. But Giants fans are because they idolized Bruce Bochy for that moment, what he did to kind of, show that he had the edge over the manager in Los Angeles against the big rival. And so I think that that's why that turned into a bigger story, even though to me, the greater decision-making error on Gabe Kapler's part was leaving Tyler Rogers in the 10th inning and then leaving him in after the first two hitters reached base. I thought, you take your chance after the Machado walk because he threw the ball well to Machado. But then once Tommy Pham reached on the single, I thought, okay, it's time to make a move, get Trevor Gatta in there, get some strikeouts, and that just didn't happen. So that, to me, was the worst mistake, even though Giants fans will remember this game because of the technicality and the error on going to the mound twice.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was more the management of the inning than going to the mound twice, and that's why I've tried to downplay it. I think it can happen. It's going to happen again. But the issue is of the experience of handling, we got a fire going here. Get the water. you got to have a calm crew trying to figure these things out. All right. I'm with you on that, all the way on that one. The other part of the Giants is Solano. Dickerson, you know, you've commented already on the left-handed hitting. Dickerson, I thought, had a good week, but how about Donnie Barrels? How about that? First, how about the name? Who gave him the name anyway? Do we know that?
We don't know. It was around last year at Coors Field. I can tell you that much. But, yeah, the Donnie Barrels nickname came out of nowhere, Marty.
It's a good one. Yeah,
yeah.
And
it's deserved. I mean, the 32-year-old infielder was out of Major League Baseball in 2017 and 2018. He was just a triple-A player. He'd never established himself. He was probably going to be labeled as a quadruple-A player until he got the chance with the Giants. Hits 330 with the historically high BABIP. So you wonder, is it possible for him to do the same this season? And all he does is find a way to make contact. I mean, this guy is like a right-handed version of Joe Panik during his rookie season, where you felt like Joe Panik wasn't going to strike out. You felt like he was always going to find somewhere on the outfield grass to place that ball. And sure, the majority of his hits are singles, but Donovan Solano is also proving this year that he can do a little more damage.
Yeah, and he slowed the game down. He slowed it down at the plate. And when you need a sacrifice fly, he can get it. He can put the bat on the ball. And he hit a big home run. It was a huge home run he hit. They had some good home runs this week. The Yastrzemski walk-off, the splash hit. That was tremendous as well. All right, so tonight it's Drew Smyly. Is Samardzija already announced for tomorrow? I see on ESPN they've got Samardzija. Has that already been announced?
I don't think the Giants have announced it, but it would be pretty surprising if Jeff Samardzija was held back for the Coors Field series. I'll say that.
Yeah, really. I mean, so I assume Samardzija tomorrow. And, you know, the rain. Let's leave the Padres for a second. And I love that kid Grisham. Seven players like that kid, and you can have Tatis or Machado. I'll take seven of this kid.
Yeah, seven of Trent Grisham, seven of Mike Yastrzemski, and let's watch baseball. I mean, the quality of their plate appearance is so good. They both roam the outfield well. They're fun players to watch.
I love it. The kid can lay a bunt down. He can hit a home run, and he also can miss a fly ball at center field, which he did that he did that beautifully as well. I was not impressed with the Padres, overly impressed, I will tell you that. I could see they've got a lot of talent. I could see that the bullpen is not the old Padre bullpen. I'm sorry, it's not, other than Drew Pomerantz. That was the only one who actually looked okay, and his second appearance wasn't so hot either. I felt the Giants played with the Padres. I really did.
Yeah, I agree with you, Marty. And my thought on bullpens is the Padres for years had a great bullpen because every pitcher in their bullpen was anonymous. No one knew who they were. They would just bring out a random guy who threw 97 or with a great breaking ball with a 2 ERA, and you're like, okay, yeah. But the shelf life on relievers' success is short. And so now I think the Padres have gotten themselves into a situation where they've, you know, built up their bullpen. They've got a number of guys who are well-known, in Pomeranz, Craig Stammen, Kirby Yates. And when you have well-known relievers, that just historically tends to backfire, in my opinion. You know, all these pitchers have such short shelf lives on their success. There's a reason they went from the rotation to the bullpen. And so it's so difficult to have sustained success over a long period of time as a relief pitcher. And that's why I really buy into Farhan's philosophy of just going out and getting some guys and cobbling together a bullpen based on the 25 pitchers you bring into spring training. All you need are eight. You don't need to get three or four highly priced guys to make it successful.
No, you can do it. All right, well, last question for you. Pitching-wise on the Giants, a surprise for you and maybe a disappointment on the pitching side for you?
A surprise so far this week is in Connor Menez. Menez looks
excellent.
Really good. And I mean, this is a guy who I wasn't sure if he was going to ever establish himself at the major league level as a starter, just because I don't think the off speed was quite there. But this week he's looked great. Both times out of the bullpen, I think that he could be a long reliever for this Giants team, go two innings at a time. He's been really good. The disappointment, I think, was Danny Jimenez right out of the start. I saw the Rule 5 draft numbers, and I saw the production that he had in Double A in the Blue Jays organization, but when he came to spring training, he looked like he was still a few years away. He looked like he wasn't ready, and I think the Giants took a risk there, and they've already moved on, and so that told me that they'd seen enough. That they had seen the inconsistencies during summer camp, and really, he probably shouldn't have even been on the opening day roster, but you give the Rule 5 kid a chance in a few games.
Well, a guy who's getting a chance is Duggar, and a guy who did get a chance was Jalen Davis, and it didn't happen. We've seen both of them before.
Yeah, I was surprised about the Jalen Davis move. You heard Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler talk all offseason about how 2020 was going to be the year of Jalen Davis. And I know that he had 6 strikeouts in his first 12 at-bats, but on the 6 balls he put in play, Marty, the average exit velocity was 102 miles an hour. That was right up there with the best in baseball. And so I think that obviously putting the bat to ball is so important for Jalen Davis. Can he do it consistently? That's the big question. But I don't know if sending him to the alternate camp in a season like this is going to give him the opportunity to start proving he can do it consistently.
No, it's a lost year for him. And at his age, he didn't need that. He needs at bats. All right,
yeah.
I'll let you predict. Hunter Pence, first hit will be?
An infield tapper, a single, and it will come on Sunday.
Okay, all right. Very good. There is a lefty going Sunday. Kid Corby Allard is going mm-hmm. On Sunday Colby Allard, 22 years old, goes on Sunday. All right, that's a good one. All right, we'll see. Everything good with you? How are things?
Yeah, I keep hoping that this won't be the last game I cover. You know, I keep hoping that this season lasts longer than 6 games, lasts longer than 7 games, and we get the full 60 games. The Giants have been good about their protocols so far. You saw a few guys in Los Angeles not wearing masks in the dugout. That has changed. I've got confidence in them. I've got confidence from what I've seen in the rest of the National League West in terms of following health and safety protocols. But again, we don't know. We just don't know. And this can spiral out of control at any moment. And a few people would argue that it already has. So I try to stay optimistic, though.
All right, good. I think the first 8 games, pleasantly surprised. I'm looking forward to tonight and tomorrow. And then the road trip starts. But I'm with you. Every day is an adventure. So take care of yourself. We will talk to you tomorrow and see what happens in tonight's game. And get ready for Jeff Samardzija tomorrow, I assume. All right. Take care, Kerr.
All right. Have a good one, Marty.
All right. That is Kerry Crowley. He's got a good podcast out, too, that you want to check out as well. All right. More coming up. Bill Lasky will join us. He is our post-game host. And Bill will break down today's pitching matchup really well and give us some thoughts on baseball, too. So more coming up right here. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.